But in terms of niche, I always recommend that like your niche sort of lies in the overlap between what you're passionate and excited about and what you're knowledgeable about.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from New York. I have got Christina Galbato in the house. Christina, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me, Jules.
Yeah, super excited to have this woman on the show. She has such an inspirational story. And, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with her or her work, you know, she was a social media influencer, turned online educator, and now digital marketing expert. And I know you've had a successful career as a travel influencer, working with brands like Ritz-Carlton, Mazda, Lululemon, and several others. And I know you took that, you know, business there and you transitioned into this online education company where you've built this seven-figure business, helping, you know, thousands of women build careers as influencers and bloggers. And I know Unconventional Lifers, if you're into that conversation, stay tuned for the giveaway we've got at the end of the episode, which is also going to add some tools and insights for one of our listeners. And I know, you know, Christina, you've been in CNN, Forbes, you've been a speaker at AdWorld. And I know you also have a podcast called Her Life by Design. So when we came across everything that you were doing, we just knew it was like, all right, this is some unconventional life alignment. We had to have you on the show. So Christina, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might've left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Awesome. No, that was a great intro. Thank you so much for that. I'm excited to be on the show. I think that about covers my journey, and I'm excited to talk about, you know, the influencer world, the online education world, and the transition I made and everything in between.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I'd love to just start, you know, with being an influencer. And, you know, a lot of times, at least people would be like, wow, that would be my dream. You know, and some people it's like, get my Instagram profile and I get these brand collaborations and I get to travel and all those things. And I would imagine for some period of time exclusively that was. And then you decided that you wanted to make a transition. And I imagine, you know, have a little bit more, I don't know if I would say substance to it, but you wanted more to what that was. Mm-hmm. And so how do you define your relationship to being an influencer? And what do you see that's happening in the space now? And are there any either misconceptions or things that maybe used to be true that, you know, feel like would be relevant to share of just the current today's landscape of what that world looks like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like there's so much that has changed, obviously, with Instagram specifically over the last like 5-7 years, even just like in the last year. But I think when it comes to the term influencer, a lot of people might maybe listening have sort of like a dirty taste in their mouth, because I think when people think about the word influencer, it's this, you know, kind of self-centered image that comes up, you know, sharing all about them and all about what they're doing and what they're eating and where they're traveling. And it's sort of like this me perspective. And I think that how the influencer industry has changed is, first of all, you know, brands are taking it a lot more seriously. It is a crazy big industry. But also in terms of what people are wanting to consume from influencers has changed a lot. And I think that in order to be a successful influencer and grow an audience that's engaged with you, you have to really shift away from this me content and more towards offering value in your content. So what I like to say for anybody that is wanting to become an influencer is really think about the value that you have to offer. So for example, if your passion and your expertise is in the sustainable fashion world, you not only need to be, you know, being inspirational and sharing your kind of journey with that, but also offering people tangible takeaways on a daily basis. So that's really where I see the influencer industry changing. And then also I think influencers are becoming a lot more savvy to how they can monetize. So, brands for the longest time have really taken advantage of influencers and, you know, here's this free thing, like post 45 Instagram posts in exchange for this, you know, $15 product. But I think influencers are becoming a lot more savvy, both because there's a lot more education about it and, you know, the industry is evolving. So, I think how I'm seeing it change in terms of that is just, you know, asking for you know, what they're worth, getting paid what they're worth, but then also thinking about other ways that they can monetize as well. So digital products, physical products, online courses, coaching programs, whatever it is that they can create to serve their audience.
Yeah, I love that. And I know on Instagram, you know, you're just a little bit over 250,000 followers, and just sharing that as context and conventional life is that this woman does walk her talk and does have quite a bit of experience, you know, in this domain. And, you know, I think that's, it's such great advice. And I would say for those, you know, to just expand on that, how do you create, you know, your theme, and whether you use that as your page as an example? Cause I think for a while it was like, I'm just in a beautiful location in this great dress and like, you know, here. And I do agree with you. I think that the model has evolved quite a bit. And so any advice that you could give for someone, whether they have a current, you know, Instagram, or they're looking to start something new, how to really centralize the theme, and what types of content do you see, you know, that are really resonating? Is it short videos? Is it lives? Is it the combination? I know this is a kind of a large question, but just, you know, if someone was to take some practical steps into, you know, theming their page.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the first thing I would establish is sort of your niche. And I always recommend that people get as specific as possible at the beginning of growing their page. It's a lot easier to grow when you are niched. A lot of people think like, oh, if I'm really specific, I'm going to not be able to reach as many people, but actually it just makes your content easier to be found. So establish what your specific niche is. So let's run with a sustainable fashion thing. Establish what your content pillars are within that. So maybe, I mean, I'm not really, I don't know, sustainable fashion, but maybe it would be like, let's just go with the sustainability. So it could be fashion, lifestyle, home, or something like that. And those would be your three content pillars of the topics that you're posting about. And then I would get really clear on what your I help statement is. And I know this is like very specifically for coaches, but I do think that it's really important that influencers also come up with a statement like this. It doesn't need to be in your bio, but it can just be that kind of North Star of the mission that you're following. So I help X type of person achieve X, Y, and Z through X, Y, and Z. So maybe for that example, it's I help millennial women achieve a more, you know, sustainable, responsible lifestyle through sharing about these types of things. So having that sort of overall I help statement to, again, guide your content. In terms of what type of content is doing really well right now, I would say, and I know that like maybe some people hearing this are like, everybody needs to stop telling me this because I don't want to do it, but short form video really is everything right now. So I would say if you have not gotten into Reels, I would absolutely recommend getting started on that. The easiest way to do it is honestly to just start, but do research on what other people in your niche are posting and what types of videos they're creating, what sorts of videos are trending, and then also learn how to adapt it to your niche. So the thing with Reels, and this also kind of translates over to TikTok, is that you don't just want to be recreating a video because it's a trend that you see sort of going off and you know, oh, I'm going to get a lot of followers from this. I'm going to get a lot of views. You really need to adapt a trend to your niche, because when people find your video, they're going to end up back on your page. And what they're going to be doing then is looking for more of that same type of content. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you're adapting a trend, you figure out a way to make it for your niche. But I would say with Reels, I would aim for like 4 to 7 a week is what Instagram themselves have said. But if you're starting from zero, aim for like 2 or 3, you know, this next week, and then sort of work your way up from there. But Reels are a great way to add value, and you can, you know, create like funny or educational Reels and then use the caption to kind of expand on the idea that you're trying to teach or, you know, inspire people in some way.
Yeah, I love that. Super great advice. And, you know, Christina, one of the questions that a lot of our listeners, right, you know, is that they very much in the spirit of unconventional life have a lot of different passions and a lot of different interests. And they're like, you know, even like, how do I even get to my I help statement, for example. And I know it's this common question, right? It's like, how do I niche down if I'm just everything? I want to help people create a life by their own design. And I want to help, you know, and so for those multi-passionate, don't box me in, but yet help niche me in kind of people, any way you can offer some perspective on how to start getting closer to that theme.
Yeah. First of all, I love what you said about how people sort of have this overall mission of like, I want to help people live their best lives. Cause I hear that all the time. And I think like, right? no offense to anybody that, you know, wants that, cause that's a great mission. But if that's your overall mission, you really need to get a lot more tactical, like what that specifically means for your audience. But in terms of niche, I always recommend that like your niche sort of lies in the overlap between what you're passionate and excited about and what you're knowledgeable about. So for example, I really love makeup. I love putting makeup on every day. It's super relaxing for me. I love having fun with it, but I'm not knowledgeable about the industry at all. I don't know like what the latest products are. I don't know what the best foundations are. I just kind of use what works for me, right? So I would never really have that as my niche because I'm not knowledgeable about it. Whereas, you know, travel for me, I'd always been very excited and passionate by it, but I'm also really knowledgeable on the industry and what sorts of guest services are trending, architectural trends, those sorts of things, because I keep up with the industry. So you really want to find where those things overlap, because at the end of the day, as an influencer, like I said, they're looking for value. They're looking for an industry expert to follow. They're looking for a trusted source. And brands are also looking to partner with influencers that are trusted sources within their industries. So I would definitely say, like, if anybody's really struggling between like, I love all of these different things, make a list of all the things you're passionate about, and then maybe just highlight the ones that you're knowledgeable about. And all of this to say too, like, if you're not knowledgeable about the industry that you want to be in right now, it's okay. Start reading on it. Start, you know, subscribing to the, you know, the press publications that talk about industry news. You know, start reading the magazines. Start looking at trends. Start, you know, buying products and doing your research on what's the best for what. So you can make yourself an expert, but you definitely just want to make sure that like it's not coming from a perspective of like, I really love makeup and I want free makeup, right? It has to be deeper than that. There has to be a value add.
Yeah, so, so good. Last question on this thread, and then unconventional lifers, stay tuned for the giveaway. Cause if you're like, tell me everything, we do have something for you that will accommodate that. It's just for those who are rebranding, you know, and who also, I mean, transitions are definitely a theme in this show. And so, you know, let's say someone's like, hey, I've got this Instagram account and it's got a lot of followers and, you know, but it doesn't quite fit who I was and like where I'm going, but it's all here. Yeah. Like, what do you recommend? Do you recommend people archive content? Do they, you know, how do you, I'm sure you encounter that. How do you transition and come to something that feels more resonant of now and make those pivots with the account?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's definitely something that I went through. I think the first overarching thing is really just being honest with yourself, because, you know, when I transitioned over from travel blogger to online educator, I was so pulled between the two things. And I ultimately felt like, you know, I'm giving 50% of myself to both of these things. So eventually I realized like, my business is going to grow a lot faster. I'm going to have a lot more impact if I can just give 100% of my energy to this thing and really trust in the sense that like my gut is pulling me this way. So that's the first thing, is sort of being honest with yourself and getting really in tune with where you want to go. But I think the second thing is, in particular, when it comes to Instagram, is really setting expectations for yourself, because it can be really frustrating when you transition your content and you're losing a lot of followers. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that kind of trips people up, is like, oh, I really want to make this transition. My gut is telling me this is the direction to go in, but I don't want to lose my audience. And I think you really have to like kind of let go of that thing, because, you know, your account started out, you know, in a certain topic, people were following you for information about that topic. And you know, that like cheesy quote, that's like people are in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. It's the same thing with Instagram followers, right? Like some people might've just been following you for that specific type of content. Some people might be in it for the long haul, no matter what you're posting about. So just expecting that people are going to fall off. Then the second thing is really communicate to your audience what this new transition is, why you're making it, and what they can expect from you going forward. So whether that's in a few posts, whether that's in a live, really communicating to your audience what is going to come and what's in it for them with this new content. And then just, you know, set off to the races, right? Like make a really clear content plan, so that way in this new direction, you are offering a lot of value and showing up consistently. And then do that. Through that new content, you will attract the right kind of audience and you will lose the wrong kind of audience, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, so good. I love that. Thank you so much for all that, Christina. And I do want to talk about, you know, your own transition, which has moved into this online education model. And I know you run a boss lady team and you've got, you know, it's not just Christina as solopreneur anymore. And, you know, I know you've moved into this education space, you know, running this 7-figure company. And so just in terms of that, how is it, you know, running this particular team, and how have you been able to have the growth that you've had? What have been some of the components that have led to you? You know, a lot of people say it's so saturated. did. Online education, where is my place in it? You know, how do I get my message out there? And of course, there's always a million reasons on conventional lifers to keep you from doing the thing that you really want to do. And so how have you been able to carve out a space for yourself here? And what have been some of the core components that have led to the success that you've had in the time frame that you've had it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to that. I think one of the biggest things is realizing that to a certain extent, if you want to grow a large business, a multiple six, seven figure business, it cannot just be you. I think like when I first started and I was a solopreneur, I had so much pride in the fact that I did everything. Like I created this by myself. I designed my website by myself, right? But I think ultimately you have to outsource at some point in order to grow. So what that looked like for me at the beginning and what I would recommend anybody else do right now that's, you know, needing a little bit of help or finding themselves pulled in too many different directions is make a list of the things that you are really good at and you enjoy doing. Make a list of the things that you are good at, but you don't really enjoy doing, and make a list of the things that you hate doing and you, you know, aren't good at. And that's going to be the first column that you're going to want to outsource. So for me, my first team member that I hired was sort of like a general VA. I find that's typically kind of what everyone's first hire is, a VA just doing kind of random things from customer support to social media posting to, you know, all of these different things. And how I came up with a list of things that she was going to do was things that needed to get done in the business, but that I ultimately didn't enjoy and I ultimately didn't need to be doing, because by her taking on those responsibilities, then I was able to focus on things that were actually going to move the needle forward and generate more income in my business. And then I think what's pretty typical for me and for a lot of other business owners is that once you have that sort of generalized VA and your business is growing, you can sort of start to hire on people that have specific, you know, areas that they're owning. So, you know, now I have someone that is dedicated to social media. She does a ton of stuff on social media. She owns those metrics and feels really, empowered by trying to improve those things month over month. Someone that is dedicated to customer support, someone that is dedicated to ads, to funnel optimization, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the first thing is just realizing you can't really do everything on your own, and that's okay. And then also being comfortable with taking educated chances on hiring as well, because hiring is very uncomfortable. I'm sure you know, Jules, from hires you've made in the past, it can feel really scary giving that money away. But I think as much as possible, if you can reframe it away from, you know, I'm losing money to I'm gaining time, and time is the most important thing. Yeah. So taking chances, I think also something that has been really helpful for me is getting comfortable with being really uncomfortable. So whether that's agreeing to do podcasts that maybe I'm a little bit nervous about, or investing in a mastermind or a group coaching program that was, you know, maybe a little bit scary budget-wise, or doing a presentation to a large group, things that made me feel really uncomfortable. Because I mean, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true, right? Like your growth is going to come from putting yourself in those uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Christina, you're such a champion of mindset work as well, and who you get to be, right, in order to create the world that you want. And are there rituals or practices that are non-negotiables for you, or even those that you work with in your clients that you're like, these are like, this is, you know, there's no like secret. It's not like I'm just born this way. Like it's created, it's chosen, you know? And so share with us a little bit about that world for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been an interesting one. Cause I feel like, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, and I'm not sure, Jules, if you were this way when you started out and you were like, I'm a new entrepreneur and I already have so many boundaries. you know, I spent like the first few years in business having absolutely no boundaries, just really burning myself into the ground. And honestly, it hasn't been into the last like year and a half, 2 years when I've started to establish more practices that just made, you know, running a business this large sustainable. I think one of the biggest kind of tangible tips that I can give the audience has to do with email. Obviously this depends on your business. I'm just staring at my email inbox right now, so it came to mind, but I think a lot of the time, and this has to do with just notifications and like incoming information in general. I think a lot of the times as entrepreneurs, business owners, we spend so much time being reactive to the information that's coming into us. So whether that's like our email inbox, our Instagram DMs, our Instagram comments, like how can we form a different relationship with those things so that way our time is more manageable and we don't like lose our minds? So for me with email, first thing is like having an autoresponder that tells people emailing me, when they can expect to hear from me. So mine says something like 2 to 3 days or something like that. And I really only check email once a day in the morning. So I spend 30 minutes max on email in the morning. And that's really on the things that need my immediate attention. Anything else I'm checking honestly, like 2 or 3 times a week, which that's a, you know, an extreme boundary, but it's just something to be aware of, is like how much you're in your email, because I think a lot of people spend so much time in email. And the end of the day, they're like, oh, I felt like I was getting a lot done, but I actually didn't do anything that moved the needle forward in my business. And then also turning notifications off on my phone. So I really don't have any notifications on my phone except for texts and phone, which is, you know, obviously close friends and family. When I open Instagram, I open Instagram. When I open Slack, I open Slack, but there's nothing coming inward to me. So really managing all of that incoming information has been a game changer for me. The other thing as well, and this might sound obvious, but it's something that I struggled a lot with, is just making sure that you're taking care of your physical and mental health. I spent a long time at the beginning really just grinding myself into the ground, trying to grow this business. And obviously I am very grateful for the business that I have, but I certainly neglected my physical, mental, spiritual health in the meantime. So, you know, things like therapy, like carving out time on your calendar for exercise, you know, learning meditation, all that stuff that's going to take care of yourself ultimately reflects in your business. So, you know, those would be some of my biggest tips.
Yeah, so, so good. Unconventionally Furs, Christina has got an amazing website. We'll link her in the comments, but even this email list, you know, how I went from 0 to 100K. I mean, you've got topics and everything, you know, in here, which is, you know, awesome. And, you know, my last piece before we transition into the rapid fire round is just to talk about monetization for a little bit. And I know, you know, you've got a lot of different strategies with monetization, both from a branding perspective, but also, you know, in your own, I feel like you, are someone who just doesn't leave money on the table, is maybe a way to say it, you know, is that you've gotten really creative about creating invitations for people to pay you. And whether that's, you know, like whatever you're doing, it has a multi-function use. You know, if it's a post, it can also be a teaching opportunity and also can be a collaboration. And so I don't know if that's true. That's just my, you know, projection of you. And so any tips that you can give, particularly, you know, in transitioning into monetization, because I think sometimes it's this question of value, you know, of why is what I have valuable, and how to start to see what you do as valuable, whether that's approaching a brand for a collaboration or whether that's taking your information into online education. And so what did you have to grapple with that? And just any, you know, quick advice that you could recommend, obviously on a very large topic.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing when it comes to online education is a lot of people have this fear of like, do I really have a lot to offer? And the reality is that I'm not, you know, the best influencer marketing expert out there. You're not the best, you know, in your specific industry, but we both are 4 steps ahead of a lot of people. And so that can be your customer. So sort of reframing that, like, you know, you are an expert, you are more knowledgeable compared to many, many people in your audience. You don't need to be the best of the best. You just need to have some sort of transformation that you've created yourself, that then you create for other people, that then you can use as social proof and success stories and testimonials to reach more and more people. I think the other than kind of realizing that, I think something that has really helped me is putting a lot of free content out there. So whether it's on my blog or my podcast or my Instagram, all of that free content is really what's going to make people want to pay you. So I think the more you can kind of figure out what those platforms are for you, whether it's Instagram, whether it's a podcast, you don't need to be, you know, everywhere at once, but being really consistent and valuable somewhere, listening to your audience, incorporating their feedback into your content is huge. And then for me, something that, you know, I decided very early on was that having a freedom-based lifestyle was very important to me. I didn't want to be on coaching calls every day. I just energetically, that's not me. I want the freedom to, you know, travel where I want, have the, you know, day-to-day life that I want. And so for me, with my online courses, creating, you know, evergreen webinar funnels and running ads to that has been hugely important in my business. And I would say for anyone that has an online course that they want to turn evergreen, I mean, I could talk about webinars for like 15 hours, but my biggest overall tip would be, before you run ads or any sort of paid traffic to it, just making sure that you have a funnel that converts with your warm organic audience. And then once you kind of have those numbers and you're starting to put Facebook ads into them or YouTube ads or whatever that is, then you can begin to expect a certain amount of revenue coming back. So taking a chance on investing in Facebook ads and a reputable ads agency was definitely very integral in growing my business.
Yeah, I love that, Christina. I know this is a topic we could probably jam on for hours. So appreciate all of the things that you've shared with us. Unconventional Lifers, stay tuned for this giveaway coming up in just a few moments. And we're going to be able to give you another opportunity to take this further. So I've got a few lightning questions coming at you in this rapid fire round. I know we didn't prepare you for this, but are you ready?
Okay. I'm scared, but I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I don't take myself seriously.
Love that. Next question. What is one surprising fact or unusual fact that most people wouldn't know about you?
Yeah. That I like Nickelback, and I've never understood why people don't like Nickelback.
I love it. Fun fact, I actually had Nickelback's drummer on my last album in Vancouver a year ago.
That's so jealous.
So yeah, fun random fact. Yay, Nickelback.
I found one other person that likes them. Yes.
So good. I love it. Next question. What is one piece of advice that you would give yourself when you were still working in that cubicle? And I know you've got, you know, this, you know, you did come from a very conventional world that if you could only have seen it then was something that you would share with yourself now. And I know my favorite thing of you, before I was Christina Galvato, the CEO, I was Christina Galvato, account executive and chief of my windowless cubicle. So unconventional labors, it is possible for you. But what is one piece of advice that you would give yourself now from the version that you were being in that windowless cubicle?
We'd say trust in the process and try to take as much knowledge out of my current situation as possible and not discount the things that I was learning there.
Love that. Lastly, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
I think it means continuously shattering all of the glass ceilings that I have in place for myself and helping others, other women do the same.
Love that. Christina, thank you so much. Tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So obviously Jules will tell you guys the kind of context of the giveaway and how to enter. But I would love for one of you guys to join the Influencer Bootcamp. It's my signature online course that teaches you how to establish a unique brand on Instagram, grow an engaged audience, and start pitching and monetizing through brand collaborations. So it is a self-paced online course. We also have a Facebook community with thousands of like-minded women offering support. And it's an incredible course and community that has transformed so many lives.
Yeah, Christina, thank you so much for that generous giveaway. Unconventional Lifers, you can head over to the website. For those of you that tune in all the time, you know the drill. Go to unconventionallifeshow.com, click on the giveaway tab, and you can enter to win in that giveaway. The giveaway is always open for 1 week after this episode airs. And Christina, for those that want to learn more about you, your work, follow along on Instagram and all the different places and things, what's the best place for people to do that and to stay in touch?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Christina Galvato. That's probably the main way to interact with me. And then we have a spicy, beautiful new website, ChristinaGalvato.com. Lots of fun copy moments in there. And that sort of highlights, you know, more about my journey, my team, tons of information on the blog. And then I have a podcast as well called Her Life by Design.
Yeah, right. Unconventional Lifers. We will throw all of those links in our show notes and our blog right up at UnconventionalLifeShow.com. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, for sharing your wisdom, and for just being a stand for Her Life by Design in so many ways. It was so good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jules. It's been really fun.
All right, everyone. We'll have more amazing stuff coming at you all soon. Go ahead to the website, check out those links, and we'll see you next time.